السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله وسلم عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله وسلم عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا غريب يا مظلوم يا شهيد كربلاء، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ذلك ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب. God states in the Holy Quran, and whosoever magnifies the rituals of God, truly that comes from the reverence of hearts. آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم. Once again, let us enliven our hearts, our minds, and our gathering with the remembrance of the purified progeny of the Holy Prophet and his purified progeny. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل. Pilgrimage to various sacred sites features prominently in many different religious traditions. There are certain places, there are certain sites that are considered to be holy or sacred and are visited by adherents of different religious traditions and faiths. For example, we know that Jerusalem is considered to be a holy city and a sacred site for Jews, for Christians, and also for Muslims. That it's an important and sacred site. And it is visited by many. The Bible calls its adherents to observe pilgrimage to Jerusalem 3 times a year. On 3 different occasions. And so many pilgrims, they go and they visit Jerusalem and they participate in pilgrimage to the sites that are there. We find that in other religious traditions, such as in Buddhism, there are certain sacred sites. For instance, in Nepal, there is the site in which it is said that the Buddha was born in. The site of the birth of the Buddha. And it is a site where Buddhist pilgrims, they go and they perform pilgrimage. In India, another site where it is said that the Buddha received enlightenment, achieved enlightenment, that is also perhaps one of the most important and most sacred sites in Buddhism, but also even in Hinduism. And we find that in Catholicism there are many different sites. One that features prominently is in Portugal, known as Our Lady Fatima. She has no relation, the name has no relation to Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, but her name is Fatima, and it is said that at this site, in this place in Portugal, about 100 years ago, in 1917, that Lady Mary, Maryam alayha salam, she appeared to some, and so it was considered a sacred site, and many go and they perform pilgrimage to this site. And of course, in the Islamic tradition, we know that there are many sacred sites, the most prominent of which is Mecca and Medina, and all of the sites that are associated with these two great cities. Now, one of the most potent expressions of Shi'i culture and ritual is the visitation, the ziyarah, to certain sacred sites, to certain burial sites in general, and in particular to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his burial site in the city of Karbala. This is important. The ziyarah of Imam Hussein, visiting and performing pilgrimage to the site of the massacre of Karbala and the burial site of Imam Hussein and his family members and companions. We know that this features very prominently in the Shi'i tradition, in the school of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all. But what is the essence of ziyarah? We know that this is a prominent ritual. It's a prominent act that many engage in. But what is the essence of ziyarah? When we perform ziyarah to these sacred sites, to the sites that are associated with the Ahlul Bayt, or with the Prophets, or the Imams, or Imam Hussein in particular, what is the essence of ziyarah? What is it that we are performing? The essence of ziyarah, according to the traditions and the teachings, is to express devotion to the specific figures who are buried in these locations. To express devotion to them. To engage in a renewal, to practice in renewing one's covenant and allegiance to these leaders. To express one's wilaya to them. Affection and allegiance to these individuals. Part of it is a pledge that is made on behalf of the pilgrim, the Zair. A pledge that is made to emulate these figures in their lives and in their deaths. And this is why in the ziyarah, there's a famous clause, there's a famous statement that we recite. We say, Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahya Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad waj'al mamati mamatahum. After we perform the ziyarah, the specific salutations of the Imam, we raise our hands in prayer and we recite, we beseech God, we say, O our Lord, make my life conform to the life of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. Allow me to live like them. Allow me to follow in their footsteps, to emulate them. And allow me not just to emulate them in life, but also in death. And to be with them in the hereafter, in the next life. So tonight, brothers and sisters, I'd like to spend our time together in focusing on the place and the significance of ziyarah in general, and specifically the ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in particular, in our teachings and tradition. But first, I'd like to address three important questions that are associated with ziyarah. When we talk about ziyarah, oftentimes three important questions arise. The first of these questions concerns the essence of visiting the dead or visiting places of burial, which is known in the literature as ziyaratul qubur, visiting the cemetery, visiting the deceased. There are some who have questioned, they have asked, what is the legal status of visiting the dead? There are many traditions that encourage us to visit our brothers and sisters in their life, We are encouraged to visit one another, to spend time with one another. But what about visiting those who have passed away, who are deceased, who have moved on? What is the status? What is especially the legal status of this? The vast majority of scholars of different persuasions within Islam, different schools of thought, they are in agreement that there is absolutely no problem in visiting the deceased, in visiting the dead, in going and to places of burial, to cemeteries, and visiting those who are dead. And many point to the tradition of the Prophet himself, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, the Prophet would often visit those who were dead, the deceased, especially in the city of Medina, in the well-known cemetery there known as Al-Baqi'. Some of you may have visited Al-Baqi', right? We know that many companions, many family members of the Prophet, many notable figures are buried in that cemetery, which is adjacent to the mosque of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family. The Prophet would often go and he would visit and he would recite special salutations and pay his respects to those who were dead. And the companions saw this and he encouraged others to do the same. So they point to the tradition of the Prophet himself. And in fact, the argument is that not only is it permissible to do so, but it is highly recommended to go and to visit the dead, to visit the deceased, to go to their burial sites and to visit them. It's highly recommended. It's encouraged. We are told, number one, that in doing so, there are benefits for the dead and the deceased themselves. They benefit from our ziyarah, our visiting them. In one tradition, Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he is asked about the benefits. He is asked, Ya Ibn Rasulillah, are there any benefits that the deceased they receive when we go or if we go to visit them? Any benefits? Al-Imam al-Sadiq, he replies, or the question is, هَلْ يَنْفَعُهُ ذَلِكَ? Does it benefit the deceased? The Imam, alayhi salam, he replies, نَعَمْ, yes. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ يَدْخُلُ عَلَيْهِ كَمَا يَدْخُلُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمُ الْهَدِيَّةِ. He says, yes, it does benefit the deceased, and it does so in the same way that the benefit comes to you, one of you, when you are given a gift. Right? There's a benefit when someone visits us and they give us a gift. There's a sort of benefit that we are given through the gift. Al-Imam al-Sadiq, he gives us an analogy. He says the deceased person benefits from the ziyarah, from going and visiting, in the same way that someone in this life, while they're alive, they benefit from receiving a gift. And then he says, يَفْرَحُ بِهَا. The benefit is that the deceased person becomes pleased, happy. يَفْرَحُ بِهَا. So there are benefits to the deceased. But there are also benefits to the one who visits the deceased, the dead. Certain benefits. Our teachings tell us that among these benefits are that when we visit burial places, when we visit the cemetery, when we visit those who are dead, we are reminded of death. We are reminded of the reality of death. And this is important for us, brothers and sisters. Because in many ways, we find in our lives that oftentimes we're preoccupied with our life, our day-to-day lives, school, job, family, all of the things that preoccupy us, and oftentimes we find ourselves forgetting about death, completely forgetful, right? Or indifferent to death. But we know death is a reality. It's something that each and every one of us, sooner or later, we don't know when. We don't know. Every day we hear news of people who have passed on to the next life. People who we know, people who we don't know, some people who are ill, some people who are not ill, some people who are old, some people who are young. Death does not differentiate, does not distinguish, and it does not give us a warning ahead of time. When death comes, it comes. That's it. And so, when we go and we visit the graves, we visit those who are deceased, this reminds us of the reality of death. It reminds me that there will come a time where I will have to pass on to the next life. And so what am I doing in preparation for that? Am I preparing myself? How am I living my life? If death were to come to me suddenly, would I be ready or not? These questions are raised in our minds when we go and we visit the dead. This is why it's important. This is why it's encouraged. It's not encouraged in order to make us sad or depressed. No. But this is reality, brothers and sisters. It's reality that we have to prepare for the next life. So this is a benefit. This is a benefit to us. It keeps us in check. It gives us a reality check. Right? It reminds us of our priorities. So this is one benefit of visiting. For the one who visits the death, the dead. The other, according to some traditions, is the fulfillment of prayers, the answering of prayers and supplications. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he tells us in the hadith, "Zuru mawtakum," visit your deceased, those who have died, visit them. "Zuru mawtakum, fa'innahum yafrahuna biziyaratikum." First of all, they become pleased with your visit. And then he says, وَلْيَطْلُبِ الرَّجُلُ حَاجَتَهُ عِنْدَ قَبْرِ أَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ بَعْدَمَا يَدْعُو لَهُمَا. Not only does it bring happiness to the deceased, but also the Imam encourages us. He says at this point, one should ask for one's hajat, request one's hajat, one's needs, supplicate after one has prayed upon or prayed for the souls of the deceased, that one should ask for his or her hajat at that time. What does that mean? That means that this is a time and a place in which God answers the calls. Specifically, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, especially when visiting the graves of one's parents, one's father and mother. There's a lesson for us here. Imam Ali alayhi salam is pointing us to a lesson. That the place of our parents, the place of our fathers and mothers, that not only is God pleased with the pleasure of righteous, good parents, not only is God pleased with their pleasure for their children in their life, but also in their death. Also in their death. They continue to have a high and noble position in the eyes of God even after their death. Especially if they were pious. Especially if they were good. And so we are reminded of their place. So the traditions, they tell us that there is benefit not only for the deceased, but for the one who visits the deceased, one who visits the dead. Then we come to the traditions, and they encourage us specifically not only to generally visit the dead, but to visit the holy household, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Many traditions we have that encourage us. One in which the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, he is asked one day by his grandson, Al-Imam Al-Hasan alayhi salam. Imam Al-Hasan is young. He turns to his grandfather and he asks him, he says, Ya Abatah, O father, O father. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, when they would address their grandfather, the Prophet, they would call him, Ya Abatah, O Father. And when he would address them, he would address them as, Ya Bunay, O my son. And there are many traditions that tell us that the Prophet, he considered them like his own children. This is the relationship between the Prophet and between his grandchildren, especially Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. So Imam Al-Hasan, he asks his grandfather, the Prophet, he says, "O father, what is the reward of the one who visits us?" What is the reward of the one who visits us? The Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, he replies to him, he says, "Ya Bunay, O my son, Man zarani hayyan wa mayyitan, whoever visits me, whether in my life, while I am alive, or I am dead, or after my death." Not just during my life, but after my death. "Man zarani hayyan wa mayyitan, aw zara abak," or visits your father, meaning who? Amir al-Mu'mineen. "Aw zara akhak," who visits your brother, meaning who? Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. "Aw zaraka," or visits you, Al-Hasan. "Kana haqqan alayya an azurahu yawm al-qiyamah." The Prophet here, he makes a vow, he makes a promise. He says, "I make a vow and a promise that I will visit that pilgrim, that visitor on the Day of Judgment. I'll make sure to visit him or her." And what will happen? What will be the consequence of the Prophet's visit? He says, "فَأُخَلِّصَهُ مِن ذُنُوبِهِ," I will relieve him of his accountability on that day. The one who visits the Prophet, the one who visits the Imams. In another hadith by our sixth Imam, and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, "Man zarana fi mamatina faka'annama zarana fi hayatina." The one who visits us after our death, it's as if he or she has visited us during our life. No difference. No difference. Imagine, you are someone like Zurara, the companion of Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. You have the pleasure and the honor of visiting Al-Imam al-Sadiq and seeing his noble face, of having that privilege and that honor, having the reward of that in your life. Al-Imam al-Sadiq says it makes no difference. If you visit us after our death, your position is the same as the one who visits us while we are alive. Now, why is this? Why is it the same? Why is it that the ziyarah of the imam after he has deceased, after he is dead, is the same as the ziyarah of the imam while he is alive? The Quran very simply gives us the answer to this. The Quran tells us, "وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَن يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ." Do not consider those who have died in the way of God, for the sake of God, as being dead. Those who have passed on, do not consider them to be dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ, in fact, they are alive. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, but you do not sense this. Other verses, they say that they are alive with their God, receiving sustenance from their Lord. And many traditions, they tell us that the Prophets and the Imams, when one visits them, or salutes them, or sends his salams upon them and prays, that they are aware and they reply. This is why we focus so much on the praise of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. So the righteous, so the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, in particular, we are encouraged to visit them. The other group that we're encouraged to visit are specifically the righteous, those who are pious, those who are good, those who have a great position with God. Here once again we come to Al-Imam Sadiq alayhi as-salam. He tells us in the hadith, مَنْ لَمْ يَقْدِرْ عَلَى زِيَارَتِنَا. The one who is not able to visit us, for whatever reason it may be. He or she is not able to visit us, meaning the Imams or the Ahlul Bayt. فَلْيَزُرْ صَالِحِ مَوَالِينَا. Let him or her visit those who are pious amongst our companions, amongst those who adore us, those who adhere to us, those who follow us. Why? He says, يُكْتَبْ لَهُ ثَوَابْ زِيَارَتِنَا. If they're not able to perform the ziyarah of the Imams, visit the pious, those who are righteous, and you will still be rewarded as though you visited the Imams and the Ahlul Bayt themselves. Because the Ahlul Bayt, they are very loyal to their followers, brothers and sisters. They are loyal. Sometimes we as followers are not very loyal to our Imams. We're not loyal to the Ahlul Bayt. Sometimes we may engage in behavior or acts that are quite shameful. They don't represent the life. They don't represent the values and the lessons that the Ahlul Bayt taught us. But the Ahlul Bayt themselves, they are very loyal to their followers. And so the Imam says, those who are pious, those who are good, if you're not able to visit us, visit them, and you will be rewarded as though you visited us. So this is one point. Visiting the graves, visiting the deceased, and all of the benefits, and specifically the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, visiting them, performing ziyarah to them. The second point is concerning this misconception regarding worshipping graves. Ziyarat, or not ziyaratul qubur, but ibadatul qubur. We find that sometimes many followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt in particular are often accused by others that when they perform ziyarah, they are in fact worshipping the deceased, or they are worshipping these burial sites. Some of you may have experienced this in your lives. You go somewhere for ziyarah. For instance, you are in the city of Mecca or Medina. You are in the city of Medina and you want to perform the ziyarah of the Prophet or of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, or the Imams or others in the Baqi', and suddenly you see someone who comes and destroys your whole ziyarah. You're in that mode. You're having a spiritual connection with the Ahlul Bayt. Your mind is with them. In that moment of spirituality, suddenly a dark force comes above you. You notice someone is above you, and he ruins everything for you with the shrieking sound of shirk and bid'ah. Right? You may have experienced this yourself. I certainly have experienced it several times, more than one occasion, where I'm accused of bid'ah, innovation. I'm accused of shirk, taking partners with God. Why? Because supposedly I am worshipping the deceased. I am worshipping individuals. I am worshipping the graves. This is problematic. This is a misunderstanding, a misconception that some have as to what ziyarah is. Ziyarah does not entail the worship of the deceased or the worship of the graves. Rather, through ziyarah, we worship God and God alone. And this is why we find that oftentimes these places of ziyarah, they are accompanied by a place of worship, a masjid. The worship is not towards the person who is buried, the figure who is buried, or towards their grave. The worship done through prayers is towards Allah. But it happens that many of these sacred sites, they have a masjid adjacent to them. They are sacred sites. And so it is possible that anyone worships God anywhere, especially in these sacred sites. And this is not something new. The Quran gives us the example of Ashabul Kahf, the people of the cave. After the people of the cave, there were some, the Quran tells us, that some who were searching for them They were trying to identify them and their place. And so the Quran tells us that when their location was found, قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا. That in order to honor them, we will take upon their place a what? Masjid. Masjid is what? It's a place of worship. It's a place in which one prostrates. Are they prostrating to Ashabul Kahf? No. That they are prostrating to God. They are worshipping God. But that it happens that some sites are more sacred than others. The traditions, they tell us that some of the most sacred sites in our religion are Mecca, Medina, Masjidul Kufa, Karbala. These are sacred sites. And so the worship of God is done in these sites. This is a misconception, a misunderstanding. This is point number two. And point number three is regarding what is known as seeking intermediaries or at-tawassul. We know that many times when those who perform the ziyarah, they go to these places, in addition to their salutations, paying their respects to the holy figures, we perform tawassul. We seek them as intermediaries for our hajat. We ask God for our hajat through them, or sometimes through them as intermediaries, or we pray for their intercession, their shafa'ah. These acts are often performed during ziyarah. So what about these? Are these not forms of shirk? Why do we ask these individuals and not ask God? Is God not the sustainer, the creator of the universe, the giver, the taker? God is in charge. So why would you ask anyone besides God? This question is posed. Very simply, the answer to this, brothers and sisters, is that God is always the ends. God is always the ends. The means that we are taking, those intermediaries, they are means towards an end. And then, there is nothing problematic about this. In fact, the Quran itself, it encourages us. It commands us to take up certain means. Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. O you who believe. It's not talking about non-believers. O you who believe. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, be God conscious. وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. Take means, mediums, intermediaries towards God. And who better to take as means than the Holy Prophet? Who better than Fatima al-Zahra? Who better than the Imams? Who better than Imam Hussein alayhi salam? So they are means toward an end. When we come to the issue of Shafa'ah, the Prophet very clearly tells us in the hadith, he says, من أتاني زائرا كنت شفيعه يوم القيامة. The one who comes to me, visits me, I will intercede for him on the day of judgment. So promise that the Prophet makes. So these are some of the questions that are related to the idea of ziyarah, to the ritual of ziyarah. What is it about? And some of the questions that are related. Now, when we come specifically to the significance of the ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in the tradition, we find that there are many sources that discuss the place of ziyarah in the tradition. One of the most important, for example, as an example, is a book by the name of Kamilu Ziyarat. Some of you might be aware of this work. Kamilu Ziyarat, which translates to the complete visitations. Kamilu Ziyarat is a source that has been compiled. It's a source of hadiths, narrations, reports on the authority of the Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. And specifically, it relates to the idea of ziyarah. And the reports, the ahadith, they have been compiled by a well-known muhaddith, traditionist, scholar from the Shi'i tradition, from the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, by the name of Ibn Qulawayh al-Qummi. Ibn Qulawayh al-Qummi dies in the middle of the 4th Islamic century. He lived during the time of the minor and the beginning of the major occultation, Al-Ghayb al-Kubra. He lived during that time. He dies in about 368 or 369 after the Hijrah, in the 10th century, 1,000 years ago. Ibn Qulawayh, this is one of the earliest sources, extant sources that we have. There are many other sources. And Kamil al-Ziyarat is, and by the way, Ibn Qulawayh is one of the very well-known scholars of the tradition. He's been, you know, lauded by the biographers as being one of the great scholars. His teachers include al-Shaykh al-Saduq, al-Shaykh al-Kulayni, very well-known figures in the tradition of Ahlul Bayt. Some of his students include al-Shaykh al-Mufid, the well-known theologian and jurist of the school of Ahlul Bayt. And he's buried in Baghdad, in Al-Kadhimiyyah, adjacent to the shrines of the 7th and the 9th Imams alayhim as-salam. That's where he's buried. So he has this work called Kamil al-Ziyarat. Kamil al-Ziyarat includes over 800 ahadith, 800 reports about the significance and the merits of the various ziyarat. Ziyarat of the Prophet, of the Ahlul Bayt, of other individuals, other figures. But the vast majority, about 70% of the ahadith, the reports in Kamil al-Ziyarat, meaning over 550 ahadith, they relate particularly to the place of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Karbala. Over 550 ahadith. And they speak about various things related to the ziyarah of Imam Hussein and Karbala. And many of us, many of them, they tell us what the reward is of those who perform the ziyarah of Imam Hussein. I'll give you just a few examples. We don't have time to be comprehensive. Some ahadith, they tell us that the one who visits Imam Hussein is guaranteed to have his or her prayers answered. In one hadith, we are told that God, He gave Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hussein, several qualities, several unique qualities and traits, and that one of them is the one who stands beneath the dome of Imam Hussein. That their dua is accepted. Their dua is answered. This is the place of Imam Hussein with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with God. So that the prayers are answered. Others, they tell us that the one who visits Imam Hussein, his or her sins will be forgiven. Those wrongdoings, God overlooks them, forgives his or her sins. Another hadith, many tell us that the one who performs the ziyarah of Imam Hussein, that the prophets, that the imams, the Ahlul Bayt, and the angels, they pray for this person. They continue to pray for them and seek blessings for them. The ahadith, they tell us that the one, even the one who spends money on their journey towards the ziyarah, or while they're there, that God compensates them for everything they spend. One hadith gives an example. It says, for every dirham that is spent, God recompenses with 10,000 dirhams, which is done sincerely in the way of ziyarah, while one is performing the ziyarah. Many traditions, they encourage pilgrims to perform the ziyarah while they are walking on foot, to walk towards Imam Hussein. And they tell us that for every step that one takes, God gives 1,000 rewards to the pilgrim for every step that he or she takes towards Imam Hussein. And there are many others. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he tells us in the hadith, He says, من زار الحسين عليه السلام عارفا بحقه. Not to get confused or carried away. Al-Imam al-Sadiq says, the one who visits Imam Hussein while he or she is fully aware of his place. عارفاً بحقه. It's not just a ritual. It's not just, I say, you know what, I have lots of sins. Good way for me to take care of all of those sins is to catch a plane to Karbala and khalas, I'm done. Right? Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says you have to be aware, عارفاً بحقه. Know who it is, the status of the place and the person that you are visiting, their place with God, what did they stand for, what are they happy with, what do they disapprove of? عارفاً بحقه. With full awareness, with full intention and understanding what happens to him. The Imam says, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ ثَوَابَ أَلْفِ حَجَّةٍ مَقْبُولَةٍ وَأَلْفِ عُمْرَةٍ مَقْبُولَةٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records for this person the reward of 1,000 hajj, accepted hajj, and 1,000 accepted umrah. Why? Why is this? Why is the reward so great? Because if it wasn't for Imam Hussein, we would have no Hajj and no Umrah. If it was not for the sacrifice of Imam Hussein, the way things were going, if it wasn't for this great rise, revolt, this movement, this noble stand of Imam Hussein, then perhaps we would not have Hajj and Umrah. This is why the ziyarah of Imam Hussein is so important. This is why one is rewarded when he or she performs the ziyarah. So this is the reward. And then he says, وَغَفَرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ وَمَا تَأْخَرَ. And he or she, their sins are forgiven when they go and they perform the ziyarah, fully aware of the place and station of Imam Hussein. And throughout history, we notice that since the early days, immediately after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and his companions, throughout history until today, the ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam has continued. It has continued. And there have been many attempts over the course of history, both ancient history and modern history, where individuals and groups, they have tried to stop the ziyarah of Imam Hussein. They have tried to prohibit people from visiting Imam Hussein, but they have failed miserably. In ancient history, we are told that many... They tried to stop. Al-Mutawakkil, he tried to destroy the grave. He did not try, he actually did. He destroyed the grave site, the burial site of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He raised it. He tried all different methods. He brought plants. He tried to hide the grave through plants and through bushes and gardens. He was not able to. There was a tree, we are told in the traditions, that indicated where the grave of Imam Hussein is. He cut down that tree. He brought water and he poured it in the area so as to cover. He was not able to. Not able to. This is ancient history. You come all the way to modern history. Right? Look at just a few decades ago. Some of you may recall, this is in your lifetimes, you remember what the Ba'ath regime, the former regime in Iraq, that tyrannical regime, and how it dealt with the ziyarah of Imam Hussein and the pilgrims towards Imam Hussein. You may recall, right, in the 90s, where the army was sent to place siege on Karbala, to attack the shrine of Imam Hussein. Some of you who may not recall that incident, you may recall if you visited the shrine of Imam Hussein recently, that inside, surrounding the mausoleum, there are marks on the walls, bullet marks, and it's written. Right? They've preserved them so that we recall the generations who come, they recall. And we are told that Hussein Kamil, who was the son-in-law of Saddam Hussein, that when he entered into the shrine of Imam Hussein, he kicked the shrine of Imam Hussein. And he turned to Imam Hussein and he said, "Oh Hussein, you are Hussein and I am Hussein. Who is the more powerful Hussein?" And not shortly after, he was out. He lived in Jordan. Saddam, his father-in-law himself, he called him, he summoned him. As soon as he arrived, Saddam executed him. Not just Hussein Kamil, Saddam Hussein himself, the other Hussein, he also perished. Where did they go and where is Hussein ibn Ali now? Look at the millions and millions and millions throughout the year from all corners of the globe who come towards Imam Hussein with all of their hearts and their minds and their bodies in different ways. You've experienced this yourselves, brothers and sisters. They come to Imam Hussein to show their respect and their devotion to Imam Hussein, their love for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. They will attempt to extinguish the light of God through their speech, through what they say, through their actions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to keep His light continuing to shine. One of the very first people to salute Imam Hussein alayhi salam was his cousin and emissary Muslim ibn Aqil. One of their very first to salute, to send his salams upon Imam Hussein. Muslim ibn Aqil, this pious individual, this loyal cousin of Imam Hussein, the Imam takes him as an emissary, as his representative. He sends him towards the city of Kufa. We all know that the Imam began to receive pledges of allegiance and support, letters of support, from the people of Kufa. So Imam Hussein sends Muslim ibn Aqil to go and to figure out what's going on in the city of Kufa. Muslim enters the city. He is welcomed in a large welcome, large gathering. We are told that once news arrived to Yazid of what was happening, he commanded Ubaydillah ibn Ziyad, this ruthless thug, to come to Kufa. Ubaydillah ibn Ziyad, he arrives to Kufa and he threatens the people there. And so slowly, one by one, they turn their backs against Musnad ibn al-Aqil until he is left all alone. All alone. He's left all alone and he's wandering. The traditions, they tell us, he is wandering in the streets of Kufa. He arrives to a home. He sits at the doorstep. We are told that a woman by the name of Tawa, she opens the door and she sees Muslim sitting by her doorstep. She does not recognize him. She sees a strange man. So she tells him, "Oh stranger, who are you? Why are you sitting here by my door? This is not a place for you to sit. This is not a place for you to remain." He turns to her and he says, "Oh servant of God, I am Muslim ibn Aqil. I am the one who has been betrayed. I am the one who everyone turned their backs on me. I am the emissary of Imam Hussein." Tawa, we are told, was a pious woman. She was a righteous woman. So she told him, "Please enter, come into my home. But you can only stay here tonight. It is dangerous for you to stay here for a long period of time." Muslim, he enters into the home of Tawa. We are told that she takes care of him. She cares for Muslim. And that Muslim spends the night in prayer and worship. And then when the morning arrives, news breaks out that Muslim is in the home of Tawa. So the army of Ibn Ziyad, they come. The forces of Ibn Ziyad, they come to the home of Tawa. Muslim ibn Aqil, he realizes. He knows that it's time for him to go out. And so he goes out and he valiantly fights against them. Yet he's all alone. He's all alone. Despite his courage and his strength, he is surrounded. The traditions, they tell us that people, the soldiers and the forces and others, they begin to throw rocks at him. They begin to pelt him from all directions until Muslim falls and he is captured. Muslim ibn Aqil is bleeding, he is injured, and he is dragged through the streets of Kufa all the way to the palace of Ibn Ziyad. Some traditions, they tell us that as he is about to enter into the palace of Ibn Ziyad, that there is a soldier, a guard waiting there. Muslim has lost a lot of blood. He is in pain, he is injured, he is thirsty. So he turns to this man and he says, "Oh man, give me some water. Let me drink." The man, he is heartbroken. He sees Muslim in this state, so he brings for him a jug of water. He places it before him. Muslim wants to drink, but soon notices that the entire jug of water has been filled with blood. He is not able to drink it. He is not able. So he leaves and he remains thirsty. He is taken up before Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad begins to abuse him. He begins to humiliate him. He curses him and his family and relatives. And then the final moments come. They take him on top of the palace. And they decide to execute Imam Hussein's emissary, his representative, Musnad ibn Aqil. As they take him to the top of the building, Muslim, he tells them, "Before you execute me, allow me to do very quickly to pray towards God, to pray a two-unit, a short prayer." In that state, Muslim prays as he is able to. He prays and then he turns towards the land of Mecca. He turns towards the land of Imam Hussein where he is. And he says, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Peace be upon you, O my dear Hussein, O my Imam. I beseech you not to come towards the city of Kufa, for they have betrayed us and they have turned their backs away from us and they have revealed their swords towards us. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين صلى الله وسلم عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله وسلم عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم altogether. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات لا سيما مرحومين نهدي جميعا ثواب سورة الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.